good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Phil Vacchio.
Good morning. I'm Kim Hance.
And we are both with the Herzog Law Firm. I'm an attorney. Kim is our Director of Care Management. And some iteration of us are here every week talking about many different important topics: death, disability, wills, trusts, care in the house, care in a nursing home, all the above, all that and more. It's a call-in show, so if you have questions that have been on your mind, feel free to call in. We're happy to talk to you about them. The number here is 518-476-5900. Or you can call into our office as well if you want to talk about some topics off the air. Our number is 518-465-7581. And we have four convenient offices down in Kingston, Albany, Saratoga Springs, and Queensbury as well if you'd like to meet with us.
Wow, I'm impressed, Phil. You did that all without meeting
your people.
Look at that.
Off the top of his head.
Got it down, John.
I love it. That's great.
So, John, awful. Please, for the love of God, tell me, next week's going to be a little bit drier?
Absolutely. We've got temperatures upper 70s to near 80.
Okay.
Right through next week. The only chance of rain looks like to be on Friday.
Hopefully that last week was the rain for the entire,
season. It was crazy. Yesterday, it never stopped.
And it was hard the whole time.
Yeah.
So, listen to this really quick story. What I did, kind of embarrassing. During all this rain, right?
Yeah, right.
Every winter, I shut off the water for the outside from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the switch in the basement just to make sure the pipes don't freeze, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So on, I think it was Sunday last week, I turned it back on, right? For one of the hoses.
Yeah, it's time.
On Tuesday, so 3 days later, my wife calls me in the afternoon and says, "Did you turn the hose on?" I said, "No."
Nah. I know
what happened. The hose ran for 3 days straight full blast in my backyard. So
wow.
Well,
while it was raining,
your water bill is.
I'm really excited to see that water bill. They're going to think I fill up an Olympic-sized pool in my backyard.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that happens though. Sometimes you leave the spigot on outside and you forget.
I don't know how I. It's usually off. Anyway.
Yeah.
A little embarrassing story for me.
Now you know.
Well, embarrassing, but, you know, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
So now this is your public service announcement.
Check your hoses before you turn them on from the inside.
Yeah, right. Just in case.
Make sure it's all set.
So we got Mother's Day coming up, Kim.
We do tomorrow. Yeah. I'm like, how are we almost to the middle of May?
It's crazy. But happy Mother's Day.
I would imagine, Kim, that a lot of people will be taking their elderly moms somewhere.
Well, yes.
Or visiting them.
You would think so. It's a good time to visit mom, check in,
yeah.
Take her out to lunch, take her out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
It's always a nice time to celebrate.
And tomorrow looks nice. I want to get outside, hopefully.
Yeah.
Bring my wife outside.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah. So I wanted to get into a conversation. Me and you, Kim, we talk about this often in the world of home care. And we talk about the varying degrees of home care versus long-term care and nursing home. A lot of times we have clients that jump straight to nursing home. Like they think mom or dad or loved one, they're having difficulties. They can't be cared for home. It's not safe. And the only option is a skilled nursing facility.
Right, but that's also sometimes the information they get from professionals too, right?
Like
they may go mm-hmm. visit the doctor and the doctor may very well say, I think it's time to start taking a look at nursing homes.
You know what? I bet they'll be busy tomorrow too, Kim, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or you're in a hospital already, right? And they say, we've got to discharge you and you should really just go to rehab and stay there.
Right.
And
then they get stuck.
We get a lot of those too. So we get a lot of those. So we had one, I think it was beginning of this week or last week, that you and I kind of tag teamed. So I started talking to them, and the daughter is not local, right? She's the only child. She's down in, I think, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And dad is still here in the area, the Albany area. And I think he lives with his girlfriend, mm-hmm. I believe the situation was. So he's had some difficulties over his life. He has some problems and TBI. Still somewhat functional, but she called. I knew in the past because I did some planning for them.
Mm.
And she said, Phil, it's not working. He can't be at home. He has to be in a nursing home. And, you know, talk to me about all the rules. You mentioned last time eligibility stuff and 5-year look back. I need to know about all of this. So,
right.
I started going through that with her, you know, without getting in deeply into dad's situation yet, kind of taking her word for it for a moment and talking to her about nursing home rules. And sure enough, in the past 5 years, they had some big transfers of assets or whatever the case was that was going to affect his eligibility for a nursing home. We would have been able to get around it, but it wasn't a great financial situation. It wouldn't be easy. And so then I did get into the home care conversation. Well, you know, why exactly does that, and like in your own words, why does that have to be in a nursing home?
Right.
You know, what's the situation? Well, you know, I'm not around. I can't manage stuff. His girlfriend wants no part of it. She's fed up. And I think he needs to be, you know, 24/7 supervision, and he has to be in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, there's a home care program, right? So maybe we can keep him home for a longer time.
Yeah.
That has different eligibility rules. Not going to be a problem getting him qualified. And and she was also talking about hospice simultaneously.
Mm.
So I said, you know, I'm going to see if Kim here is in the office, and she's our care manager, and she is really good at kind of identifying some different options and what resources are available. So at that point, Kim, I came into you and I kind of passed them over. And do you recall some of that conversation?
Yeah, so I'm going to back up a little bit because we love using acronyms in our world, right? So, you know, to begin with, you said he had a TBI, right? So he had a traumatic brain injury, which is what that stands for, and he had had that younger in life. So he's been living okay with that diagnosis for quite some time. But if I'm remembering correctly, because my brain is not what it used to be, he's recently had a stroke, which sort of is kind of mixed those things up, right?
Yeah.
So he's had an event, which so often happens with our folks, that something happens and then that's what, oh gosh, now we really have to push the gas pedal on stuff. So in talking with her, the level of care he needs is, there's no skilled need, right? So when we talk about nursing home, it's care that requires the supervision or administration of a nurse, some kind of skilled need, right? So somebody who has feeding tubes, who has injections, who has wound care, who has, or maybe need rehab for a short period of time, and rehab meaning, you know, receiving physical therapy, occupational therapy. But he really didn't need any of those. He needs somebody who's constantly providing some oversight and supervision to make sure that he's safe, to make sure that they're giving him the cueing, right? Because his memory was affected. So doesn't really have a diagnosis of dementia, but because of the stroke, he definitely has some deficits.
Right. So some cognitive impairments.
Right.
There.
So we started talking about some of the options that were available and some of the home care programs. We also explored, you know, because with community Medicaid, it also opens the door to maybe some assisted living programs that are here in the Capital District, right?
Yeah.
Because that could be a really great option for people, particularly for somebody like this gentleman who's reliant and living with somebody who may not want to provide that primary care piece anymore.
Sure.
Right.
And people overlook that often too, because I mean, it's true that a majority of assisted livings don't accept community Medicaid. They're private pay only. And depending on the level of care can be very, very expensive.
Correct.
But there are options in the community Medicaid world.
100%. And so, you know, I was kind of exploring those with her. I also, you know, talked about, because in the Capital District, we now have two really great programs that are called PACE. So it's Program for the All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And what's nice about that is there's a whole interdisciplinary medical team, right? So primary care physician, nurse practitioner, social worker, therapy. Usually a day program is embedded with that. You don't have to attend the day program, but it's an option.
Yeah.
But it's a great place where everything is provided under one roof. And for a lot of people, particularly as they get older, it's harder to go to and from a doctor's appointment. It's hard, you know, because you travel all over the place and then you sit in the doctor's office for an hour, hour and a half. Transportation is challenging if you don't drive anymore. So being involved in a program like that is really lovely from a medical management perspective. And that's, you know, that's a Medicaid, Medicare program. So again, we're utilizing community Medicaid, again, which is for all of these community-based services. So it's really educating people.
So that's the umbrella, right? So the community Medicaid is the umbrella. And we talk about in our office from the legal perspective, getting them qualified and applying. That's that government benefit that'll pay for all these
different
potential sub-programs.
Right.
You know, the PACE one that you mentioned, and it's becoming more relevant because of the new ones that popped up in the area.
Right.
That's like a one-stop shop. And for some people, it doesn't work. Some people have their set doctors and whatnot that they want to continue to go to, and that's a different subset of community Medicaid, right?
Correct.
But that PACE is good for people that kind of, like you mentioned, can't make it out to the doctor. They don't have a set team around them that's established
already.
Or they
could have a set team, but it's not meeting their goals, right?
For that, right.
Right, because as we age, our you know, and this is a big part of what I talk to folks about too, is what is your aging plan? Because we have lots of people who are aging, but they might not be aging well. So let's talk about what your goals are for aging. Like, what do you want? What do you not want? What, you know, and let's find a team who's going to work with you on what those goals are and really support you in that. You know, so it really, you know, what I do is scratching well below the surface of all of the issues that families are dealing with, whether it's home care or whether it's how do I talk to my healthcare proxy about what my wishes are? Yeah. How do I fill out my medical order for life-sustaining treatment.
What's all those practical things? And you're kind of acting as the guide and, you know, and connecting them with the right resources. And
right, but also getting into the nitty-gritty of conversations,
yeah.
Right? Because it's hard. It's a hard system to navigate. We talk about it all the time in the office, right? Because just like this, you know, this case in particular, like somebody calls and it's like, yeah, there are things out there, but let's talk about what the nitty-gritty of those things are. And how can we support somebody in meeting the goals? And sometimes it's not exactly what they think.
Yeah.
And, you know, immediately everybody says Medicaid for nursing home, 5-year look back. And it's great when we can kind of dispel those myths or those things that they hear to say, well, that's certainly an option, but is that the best option?
Well, a lot of it too, like in a situation like this, I talked to the daughter again recently and dad was super, super resistant to being cooperative because,
right.
You know, hearing you're going to be putting in a nursing home,
yeah.
Well, he kind of, you know, got the idea of it. He didn't like the idea of it. So is he going to cooperate? And then after speaking with me and then you, and I guess she went back to him and told him, hey, Dad, I think we're going to be able to keep you home. All of a sudden, boom,
it changes.
Tune changes, and he's like, oh, yeah? Oh, I'm on board. What do we have to do?
Right.
You know, totally willing to help and be cooperative with the whole situation. And, you know, that helps relationships, too. Where him and the daughter are at odds,
that's
and
great.
She's trying to do what's best for him because she knows, well, she thinks
right.
That's what he needs.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they're on the same page, which
right.
is nice as well.
And she's a long-distance caregiver, right? So
that's
so knowing that she's got support here
peace
locally, right? Like, that can really help facilitate all of those things.
Well, and I get where she was coming from too. I think about if, you know, you're not in this field and you're, you know, hundreds of miles away in down in Kentucky and you're like, I can't do this. I'm going to stick them in a facility and I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, right.
That's my only option, right?
Right.
I can't, I'm not there. I can't manage this stuff. And then all of a sudden we had all these options and we're going to build this team around us and it's feasible to manage from outside.
Right. And you know, one of the things that I talked to her about as well is, you know, being a care manager, one of the things that I can do is I can still be the pulse of what's happening.
Yeah.
Right. Even after the services are in place, you know, I have the ability to continue to act as a liaison and make sure that things are happening the way they're supposed to, you know, do some of the team meetings, do some of those kinds of things and act as a surrogate for family members. I mean, so many family members that we work with and deal with, they're not local. So they need to have somebody who can be boots on the ground and really help with those glitches sometimes. And the glitches, as we know, happen all too often. Like what happens when there's a hospitalization? Who steps in and can manage, you know, the household when it all falls apart or make the notifications of different people, let them know. Right.
Who's advocating for them.
Correct.
Who's going to attend, you know, the care plan meetings if they do have to
or
go
even
into,
suggest that there should be a care plan meeting,
right?
Because that's a big thing too, is when we have families that call us that where there's a hospitalization, they've ended up in rehab. One of the first things we say is you need to request a care planning meeting. And you know, and a lot of times facilities, they just don't have the bandwidth to do. I mean, they have the team meetings, but they don't always invite the families.
Yeah.
So it's educating the families, like, you have the right to be there. You have a say in this. You have a right to participate and talk about what your wishes are.
Right. So right? After the break, we're going to get into more about some of the options in the community.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Welcome back. I'm Phil Vacchio.
And good morning. I'm Kim Hance.
And before the break, we were talking about some ways to avoid skilled nursing care and people knowing or not knowing that there's other options out there. And what do we take advantage of first before going to that ultimate high level of care? Mm. Situation we were describing in particular was we have a recent case where there's a daughter who's not local trying to help dad, and she thought nursing home was the only option. So, Kim, you were talking about, you know, having someone here to advocate, and you brought up a great point right before the break regarding, you know, making sure that the person is getting the care that they need in a facility because facilities are understaffed and,
right. You
know, really in every area of life,
that the
proverb, the squeaky wheel gets the grease,
right. Is
true. If you don't have someone there advocating for you, complaining, asking for things, you're going to get overlooked. It's just a matter of that's how it works in almost every industry, unfortunately. So the peace of mind of having a local advocate possibly or someone who's acting as that in-between for you is really appealing in that nature as well.
Well, a lot of times families don't want to bring up things that are uncomfortable,
right?
Because they're worried about retribution. You know, I don't want to complain because I don't want, you know, somebody to be angry that I, you know, what was it happy and said something.
And by the way, there's ways to complain that are better than others.
Well, correct.
I always think of my grandfather was in a nursing home before I practiced law, and I'm from an old school Italian family on the boat.
Right.
And their form of complaining was going in and just screaming at everybody. And that is when retribution happens.
Yes,
nobody
of
likes
course.
That.
Right. Yeah. Right. But it's formulating that plan, and it's really talking to families about because sometimes they don't know what the expectations are, right? And they don't understand how to relay that information in a way that's productive. So it's really kind of sitting down and being that advocate, but also sometimes explaining that this might not be the best scenario, right? Like, Mike emailed me the other day. This is a case that we did last year where, dad moved into one of the assisted living programs. They weren't quite sure home care was going to work. So
sure.
He did. And he's starting to fall a little bit more. And the daughter's really, you know, she's like, do I move him back into a more independent living situation so that I can then have one-on-one care, right? Because in the assisted living, he doesn't get that.
Well, because you can't bring in outside care for that one?
You can.
Okay.
So that's where I said, well, I actually think that we could bring in some companion hours.
There we go.
And we set up a pooled income trust for them during the time. And he's been using it, but not a lot. But this is a perfect example where he can use that pooled income trust to have a companion come in for some of those high need hours, right? The times where he might not be out and about and supervised or participating in an activity, and having a companion that will walk the hall with him.
Sure.
You know,
this daughter just assumed the facility wouldn't allow that?
Correct.
Okay.
Right. So she was starting to explore the home care plan that we had talked about before he went into the assisted living.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he's doing great at assisted living. He's got some friends. There's, you know, he's not super social, but there are a couple of activities that he really does like participating in. And she said, you know, if he's not ready to leave there, I'm not sure that I really, is this going to be an option? So that's where it was great. You know, Mike reached, who's one of our paralegals, reached out and said, you know, is this an option? And I was like, 100%. I mean, we have to check with each of the facilities to make sure it's allowed. But generally, a companion is okay. They just can't have somebody providing the hands-on care, right? Because that's within the license of what the assisted living is supposed to do. But a lot of times, too, when individuals have an event, maybe they go to the hospital, they go to rehab, but they're still not 100%.
Sure.
They can still have a companion come in and help them for that interim instead of having to either stay in the nursing home or age out or, you know, need more help and just stay in the nursing home. So that's what I always say to families, like, let's explore all the options that are out there because we might be able to bring somebody in on an interim basis to help, well, you know, with that bridge.
Those are the nuances that are really important, right? You just mentioned something that, you know, even our paralegal didn't even realize that because he's not on that side of things, right? So we have the difference between a companion care, which the facility will allow, it's under their guideline,
right,
versus like a, you know, a home health care agency that would not be allowed because it is in conflict with the guidelines. And, you know, you mentioned something else important. So we have, what I gathered from what you told me, we have this person on this community Medicaid program paying for this assisted living that accepts it. And to do that, to get them eligible, we had to create, because you mentioned the pooled income trust.
Right.
So it sounds like because he's been in the assisted living, that money that he has to contribute every month from his income has been accumulating a bit.
Right.
Because he wasn't using it. So now all of a sudden, we have this accessible, protected pot of money. And what you just said is great. We can bring in maybe a companion care that's allowable and pay them out of that money not getting used anyway. Because guess what? If we continue not to use that, you know, he's getting the care and the assisted living, Medicaid's paying for that, great, but this income is accumulating. If he passes away, that doesn't come back to the family. That's gone.
Right. And I mean, that's one of the things that we talked about with the daughter initially is that he might have some money left over. I mean, he uses it every now and then, like for transportation. He bought a TV. Like, and a lot of times people don't realize that that's what that pooled income trust can be used for as well, right? So this is a great way that we're going to be able to employ the use of that money that he has in excess each month. So that's also a really important thing when we talk to families. They think, oh, I make too much money.
That's great.
And it's always worth having that conversation to talk about what the options are. You know, we've talked a little bit about the assisted living program. We talked a little bit about PACE. You know, there are other programs that we use
Let's talk about the NHT. So there's another program that we use quite often that I think a lot of other firms kind of not ignore, but don't use as much as they should have.
Well, they ignore it.
Or we can just say outright,
they don't
ignore
know anything
it, right?
about it, right?
So it's NHTD, the Nursing Home Transitions and Diversions Waiver Program.
Right.
Very nice long. We love our acronyms. Right. Nice long acronym. Who cares what it means? But what it is, it's a way to keep someone out of a nursing home longer. I mean, that's the reason the government put it into effect, really, right? So try to keep them home longer. It's cheaper for them than paying for a nursing home. So kind of a win-win with the government and the people.
Yep.
So with that there, and there's different levels of it. So we have a lot of clients that come in that think that they don't need help yet. And mom or dad has some kind of cognitive diagnosis, even if it's just general cognitive decline due to aging, right? It could be as simple as that.
Yep.
And we can get them under this other sub program under community Medicaid. So sometimes, like in this, another case in particular, the person might not need care in the home yet.
Right.
But we can qualify them for this program and they'll get a dedicated case manager through this NHTD program.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, specifically for someone who's not in this state, you're building this support team earlier when we're not in crisis mode.
Right.
Which is fantastic. And let's flip the script. So that case is someone that doesn't need much care yet, and we have this program that's available. We'll get this care manager in place. They'll check in, connect them with resources and whatnot, even if we're not getting care in the home. But flip the script to someone who needs a lot of care.
Right.
If we get this NHTD program and you do the referral to the program appropriately after we get on community Medicaid, that's going to be a way for us to also get more hours approved.
Right, right. And, you know, there are a lot of nuances with these programs, right? It's like knowing the particular language. And
right.
and with NHTD, a lot of people hear the word nursing home and they're like, no. I don't like, but it's you're either transitioning out of or you're diverting from, right?
Yeah,
so particularly
right.
our folks that we're dealing with at home, we're diverting them from otherwise the nursing home. So there's certain qualifications you meet. But again, when we're talking about those cognitive issues, it's super important because we know that those, well, almost all chronic conditions progress over time.
Of course.
So getting something in place early, getting to know somebody. So to your point, getting a service coordinator, AKA case manager that's visiting once a month, checking in, talking about how are things going. But there are also other things under that program you can access. There's assistive technology. So the help I've fallen and I can't get up button, right? Like they can help with home modifications. So if doors need to be widened, if there's other kinds of durable medical equipment that need to be used in the house. So there are lots of things that we can do to help keep people more independent in a home environment that don't require the use of a home health aide.
I always look at it as like you're getting like a project manager and you're getting someone that has connections to all these resources. And you mentioned a few of them, but there's even more than that. And
100%.
You called your case manager with the service coordinator with your issue and they're going to say, oh, here are the options.
Right.
Right.
You know, they're going to help you connect to service, to transportation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many things, you know, in particular the NHTD comprised of about 17 different services.
Right.
And most people don't realize that there are a lot of other things that you can use. You don't have to have the home care. I mean, that's what most people want because that's where they are.
Of.
Right.
Yeah.
But it has so many other options of things that really help keep somebody independent for a much longer period of time.
Yeah. And it's not black and white. We have to get creative sometimes. It's not as easy as, hey, we're going to solve all the problems by getting an aide in. Well, maybe there's issues with that. Maybe there's not enough aides available, or maybe that in and of itself is not enough. And we do need modifications to the house.
Well, and that was one of the big conversations, like, you know, we have our Aging Life Care Association Board of Directors meeting here in Albany, and last night at dinner we were all sort of discussing, because we all come from different parts of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously downstate there really is not the aid shortage in New York City area that we have up here. So we were talking about the different creative ways that we actually provide services up here compared to how they do it in the city.
Yeah.
Because we have to be a little more creative, right? Our resources aren't as plentiful as they are downstate. And it was really interesting to kind of look at the level of creativity that we've crafted. And, you know, everybody, because most of my colleagues are sort of standalone care managers, right? Mm-hmm. They don't work within a law firm. And they all the time say how amazing it is that a firm had the insight to see that it was something that they could add for their clients to help navigate these particular pieces, because these programs are so unique. And then having somebody that understands each of the specifics of the program and where it might fit for one person, but it might not fit for somebody else. And how a lot of, like you said, like there are a lot of entities that do Medicaid applications.
Yeah.
But they don't sit and then follow the client through to the end to make sure that they're where they need to be.
Well, the Medicaid application itself is paperwork. I mean, granted, depending on the situation, there's lawyer stuff and maybe creating trusts and the other documents that are legal.
Right.
So I don't want to minimize it, but that's part of it. And if you stop there, you got someone qualified for a benefit that they have no idea how to use.
Right.
Now what do I do with this benefit that you got me qualified for?
Right, and it's knowing that when we do a pooled income trust, we have to have a determination of disability. It's whatever those forms, you know, so it's the language that needs to be comprised. You know, a lot of times people say, well, no, my loved one doesn't have dementia. But then you have more of a conversation. You talk about, well, explain to me what their needs are, right? So you're sitting in your list and you're like, okay, check, right?
Yeah, they may not have any diagnosis of dementia.
But let's talk about what a cognitive deficit means, you know? And it could just be that somebody doesn't remember to take their medications on a regular basis. You know, like one of our clients, he was like, my mom can tell a story from 100 years ago, but she doesn't know what she had for lunch earlier today. So it really is just knowing all of those intricacies.
So much there, Kim. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.